Julian here, or you might know me from Haunting Hill House. I love horror. I definitely have so much fun doing horror movies and TV shows, just anything horror. So, I recently just got to go to the arcade with my friend from Haunting, Olive/Abigail, and she's definitely still real. Do you not believe me? Because nobody believes me. I hope your podcast goes really great, and bye.
They've conquered the big screen. Now, get ready for the spin-off sure to send chills down your spine. It's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin in Don't Go Out There, the series.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There podcast. Just want to thank all our fans and listeners. Really appreciate the support. You guys are awesome. Before we get into tonight's review, just want to give a quick shout out to our website, don'tgooutthere.com. Everything about our podcast is on the website. All of our episodes and interviews, if you want to check those out. We've done some incredible interviews in the past. Go check them out there in a specific tab by themselves so you don't have to scroll through hundreds of episodes on Apple or Spotify, etc. We also have our store if you want to grab a shirt, a mouse pad, a hat, all that good stuff. We'd love to see your pictures, you know, rep your favorite podcast. And Chan's Etsy page is also attached if you want to grab a Tumblr. All of our social media links are on there as well. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Like us, subscribe us, follow us, all that good stuff. And the last thing I'm going to shout out on our website is our Patreon. We call it Blood Donors. We have the traditional monthly reoccurring kind. If you want to support us, help us pay the bills, as we say. Or if there's a movie you want us to review, that option is available as well. Just check out our website, don'tgooutthere.com. Also, if you haven't noticed, we've recently joined the Believe Network. So there's some ads on our program now. But if you want ad-free content, go check us out on Blood Donors. The ad-free episodes will be available there. We appreciate your support. We hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome back to DGOT, the series. We really appreciate y'all listening. We hope you've been enjoying this new program we've been running. We've been having a great time. I'm really excited to get into episode 5 and 6 of The Haunting of Hill House. Dustin, you just want to give your quick initial thoughts before we jump into episode 5?
Yeah, so episodes 1 through 4, got to be honest with you, I was like, it's okay. But man, episodes 5 and 6, hell yeah, brother, turn that up. Now, I'm watching this 2 episodes at a time, so I haven't watched episodes 7 and 8 or 9 and 10 yet. But all I can say is, if this is how the rest of the show is going to be, then hell yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This is by far the best 2 episodes of the season so far.
I agree. Go ahead, Brian. What'd you think of episode 5?
No, they were both fantastic. Episode 6 was a little bit more dialogue heavy, but episode 5 was, like I said, I've seen this before, but I don't remember much of it, not enough to remember every episode. So when we were going through the first 4, focusing on each sibling, then we get to Nell, I expected a lot of the same, but it wasn't. It was more of everything coming together from the first 4 episodes. So, you know, I loved the show. The first time I watched it, I remember really loving it. Can't remember a whole lot of it, but so far it's fantastic.
Well, my criticisms, if you listen to our first 2 episodes of the series here, my criticisms for this show have not been that it's bad. It was just busy to me. Like, too many directions, too many moving parts that, you know, so I'm going to give some praises to stuff in this episode where we cover episodes 5 and 6. I don't mean to sound like I'm, you know, being a hypocriticizer, as George W. Bush would say in Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay. But it works better in this episode because it's almost like they're focusing on one singular thing. They're not like, oh, here's a new ghost with new powers, and this person's also got this ability. It's like they're honing in and zeroing in on one specific thing. And so my criticisms weren't that was bad. It's just kind of all over the place in the first 4 episodes, and they do a lot better job to me of zeroing in.
I agree 100%. Brother Brian's going to be doing the scene by scene tonight. Brother, whenever you're ready.
Will do. And Nico, did you say that this was episode 5 was your favorite of the whole series?
This is my favorite episode of TV just in general.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That
wow.
I've seen.
It's high praise.
That is high praise. It is good. It's very good. All right, yeah, bear with me. I got the Rona, so I sound a little shitty. Sorry. No cold open on this episode as we're immediately thrust into the opening credits. We are immediately back in the past and focusing on young Nell's first night. Sidebar, I don't know if I said this on air, but I did off air to Nico, but Violet McGraw reminds me so much of my daughter. It's crazy. Anyway, young Nell sees the bent neck lady, and we get to see a little bit more of Nell's point of view of that first evening. We flash forward to the future and see that she's at the sleep doctor's office discussing her sleep paralysis, which I've said before, I get 1 to 2 times per year, and it's fucking terrifying. But sleep tech she's talking to turns out to be who we know as her future husband, Arthur, and this is their first meeting. Ends with him asking her to coffee. We see a time jump montage as the two solidify their relationship, spending countless holidays together where he proposes on New Year's Eve in front of her family. We stop the future hopping for a moment to see Nell awaken, having one of her sleep paralysis episodes, to which Arthur comments to the fact that she hasn't had one in a while and helps her through it. We fast forward to their wedding day, where Nell and Steve joke about how long it takes Shirley to realize Theo is gay and talk about her future plans to move to the West Coast, where Luke will follow. She sees the spirit of her mother standing with her dad, and all is good, as they joke about having too much champagne in her new last name.
Yeah, I mean, again, right off the back here, I love these opening credits. I think they work really well. You know, they get me in the mood to watch the show every time. And I just love the score. And they don't use it a ton throughout, but I do really enjoy it. They do a great job using the silence into a loud noise and then the appearance of the built neck lady, building that suspense, building that tension. I think it works really, really well. And there's a great jump scare with it. So, again, very, very effective stuff. I love this flashback because it does humanize Olivia, which I've kind of gone back and forth the same way with Steve, which I'll touch on more. I've gone back and forth with her. You know, I don't, you know, she's clearly a little unstable, to be polite. And I think that this, you know, flashback humanizes her, makes her feel more like a great mom. It makes her feel like she wants to keep her children safe. So we're just seeing all sides of people. And I like it. Creepy, phenomenal, both words I can use for this shot with the lady hovering over Nell. Great acting here. And another great transition into present day Nell, telling the story of what we're seeing on the screen with young Nell. Like, I didn't like it the first time around, even though I enjoyed the show. I like it so much more this time around. I mentioned it on the last episode of this, the way they're shooting it with these time jumps. I just think the transitions are so seamless and they're so great. What the hell is a sleep tech? I've never heard of a sleep tech. Not to, if we have any sleep techs that listen, I do apologize. And it's not a knock on your profession. I sell shaker cups for a living. So I, hey, who am I? But again, at least Nell looks relieved in this moment to have someone that's actually listening to her. I think that's a great moment. And I like that we can see how Nell's relationship/marriage comes to be. She finally has found someone that listens to her, takes her very serious, helps her out. Like, that's really happy, you know, really good stuff to see that for her. And hey, man, this is a great way to propose to somebody, in my opinion. I love it. Nice touch with Theo wearing her gloves in the back. I don't know if anybody else noticed, but I know she wears gloves a lot throughout the series, but like just the consistency, making sure all that stuff stays in, I think is really good. Again, we go back to this wedding and it's another hilarious scene with another family member finding out that Theo is gay. Shirley's reaction is priceless. I think it's a great job. And again, more good family dynamic. And right here, it seems like all the siblings are getting along, and it's a shame that Luke's not there. It actually made me really sad. That's all I had.
All right, starting off, just kind of like I was just mentioning, this episode is my favorite in all of television. If you follow us on TikTok or YouTube, you saw my video on this. If you follow me on Twitter, X, I tweeted about that as well. This is the episode that put Victoria Pedretti as my number two favorite woman in horror. That was my last year's birthday bonus. You want to go check that out? She is incredible. And it's mind-blowing that this was her first job ever on camera. The bent neck lady does not mess around. Night one and already haunting these people. The spirits usually give these new folks a couple weeks before appearing like this. I really enjoyed this great parenting moment with young Nelly. I think Carla Gugino, I don't know how you say her last name properly, but I think she's great as the mother. And as soon as Mama leaves the living room, stuff starts to get real again. Violet McGraw is fantastic, showing fear as the bent-necked lady hovers her. And I love the camera shot that Flanagan chose to show it. Jordan Christie as Arthur, dripping with Riz, asking Nell out for a coffee date. Good for you, my brother. Victoria has such a cute smile and all shucks look. Really happy for Nellie finding love. If someone in this show deserves it, it's her. Putting the engagement ring in the champagne isn't my thing, though, for many reasons that don't need to be said. It just seems too risky, but it was cute, I guess. Arthur is perfect for her with these sleep paralysis attacks. Any other fella, myself included, would freak out during this. And like Brian just mentioned, he said they're scary. I'm sure whoever's sleeping with them is probably scared as well. I love this song playing as Nellie dances and the family watches. It feels like the first time this family has shown some mutual happiness as adults together. Shirley's face watching Theo and the bridesmaid dance, I thought was hilarious. And it's a great face of fear, Nellie seeing her mother appear. It makes me smile, Stephen being a good big brother in this one instance. That's all I got, Dustin. Go ahead.
Yeah, so props again to the little girl who played young Nell. I think I said it last episode, but she does such a great job of portraying genuine terror. That's fantastic. Pretty creepy shit when young Nell wakes up and the woman is floating over top of her. That's scary. And then this guy is so fired. Arthur, let me tell you how the real world works. You can't be flirting with patients. You can't be asking patients on dates. Not on my watch, buddy. You're out of here. And then we get the it's a twin thing quote again here. But see, this time it doesn't bother me because it was established on a previous episode. So it's not like this first time we're hearing it. And it wasn't beaten to death in this episode. Said it one time, move on. We know they're twins. Great. That's fine with me. This is an okay open. We know who we're focusing on this episode, and they give a lot of backstory. So I'm in so far.
All right. We open 8 months after their wedding to another sleep paralysis episode with Nell. The scene hits a lot of the same beats as the first one, but takes a terrifying turn as she watches helplessly as Arthur collapses while exiting the bed, dropping dead to the floor. She then sees the bent neck lady at the window as all of her worst fears have come true in an instant. We fast forward to the psychiatrist's office that we've seen in previous episodes, where Nell explains that she hasn't seen the bent neck lady the entire time she had been with Arthur until that night. We transition into the past where a young Nell finds a tea set, specifically a cup with stars on the side, and Mrs. Dudley explains its previous owner and allows her to keep it. Later that day, Olivia confronts Nell about her name being written on the wall in crayon, and while she denies it, and despite Theo coming to her defense, Olivia still loses her temper, obviously slipping more and more into madness because of the house. When she leaves the room, Theo touches the wall, and with her rogue powers, realizes Nell did not write on the wall, and that more writing is underneath the now exposed wallpaper that reads, "Come home, Nell." We transition back to kind of the future, where we see Nell picking up Luke for what appears to be his first stint into rehab. Luke convinces her to buy some drugs so he can get right before going in. She does it, and Luke cooks and shoots up in the car while Nellie looks up and sees the bent neck lady in the middle of the road. We see a shot of Nell flushing all of her meds, and that's the end of the set of scenes.
Yeah, man. This scene was fucking terrifying. Nell being frozen and her husband being killed by the bent neck lady, which, by the way, the bent neck lady's fucking creepy, scary. I think they do a great job with her, especially in this episode, lighting it where you can't tell who it is. I love it. It's awesome. Well shot scene. Just a great performance by Victoria Pedretti here. I mean, and I say that a couple times in this episode because the acting is by far the best in the series from her, in my opinion. And everyone does a great job, but I think right here she really shines. And man, that's a tough time to have a brain aneurysm, if you know what I mean. Like, yes, that can happen, and maybe that is what happened, but I mean, clearly there's some supernatural stuff happening here. Miss Dudley is another character that I'm very undecided on, in the sense that I don't know where to go on her. Sometimes I like her, like in this scene, and then other times she's not my favorite character, for sure. Young Theo is a damn boss, though. She's in a mood, got a great chuckle out of me. I thought that was great. You know, this interaction with Luke and Nell in the car is good. It's sad. It's a little long, but I think it adds a lot more context to the previous episode that makes that one a little better. I know we all kind of complained about it, but just thought it was really long for no reason. I think seeing it from a different side, seeing him go into rehab, I think was a nice touch. And also shows that Luke was out of chances and how manipulative he can be. He's manipulative to Nell here, in my opinion. Makes her feel bad, you know, gaslights her, as the kids say. I think it's a great job. And again, the shot of the bent-neck lady in the rain is great and a really good way to end this set of scenes.
Arthur, he's such a supportive husband, and it stinks he dies 8 months into the marriage. Victoria kills it, shaking with fear with the return of the bent-neck lady. This poor girl has only known pain, loss, disappointment, and trauma her whole life. Nell's therapist is Russ Tamblyn. He appeared in the original 1963 film adaptation called The Haunting. I thought that was a really nice touch. Violet McGraw is so adorable as young Nellie. That's really not insightful analysis, I know, but I think she's great in the role. I think Olivia is a little overboard with her reaction to seeing the word Nell on the wall, especially considering they're just going to remodel it all anyways. But I guess it is just the principal and, you know, you're the parent. Well, she's in a mood that gets a good laugh out of me every single time I watch the episode. McKenna continues to be great with her sassiness. This is spooky as can be, I can imagine, for these girls. Come home, Nell, on the wall. I would be terrified, personally. We spoke on addiction last episode, and God, this hurts to see. Someone you love so much, this badly down, and they ask you for help. I hate it for anyone who has to deal with this. I do think Luke is being very manipulative, telling her he believed her throughout their childhood with everything. And I just reiterated like how addiction is such a terrible thing. But I didn't really like that Luke used that manipulation from their childhood for her to get more drugs. That was a little too far. Shooting a needle in your foot? Jesus, that looks painful. I could never. And Victoria, with more incredible facial acting, seeing the bent neck lady again in the street, she continues to kill it.
Yeah, it's very creepy when Arthur chokes and falls, and then the bent neck woman is in the room by the window. Very well done. I love that we see that these hauntings can actually do harm, finally. Like, up until now, it seemed like they were relatively harmless. They had just been there. So I like that that's an added layer. Crazy scene, come home on the wall under the wallpaper. It's a great tie-in for her eventual demise and kind of let us know, you know, what's going on. I like that. Heartbreaking. Just absolutely gut-wrenching to see Luke convince Nellie that he has to get high one last time and then making her buy it. Like, that's really sad stuff. And that's really, you know, Nico, what you said you didn't like, that he was using that childhood connection and all that to convince her. But, I mean, that's what junkies do, man, what addicts do. There is no right and wrong to them. It's just, what can I do to get high? So very, very well done. Then on top of that, after she's sitting there watching her brother shoot up in the car next to her, she sees the bent neck woman in the street. It's like, holy shit, this is a very emotional set of scenes, I think, was well done.
For sure. And Nico, you mentioned, you know, like the kids would be freaked out probably by seeing Come Home Nell on the wall. But you got to think, too. I mean, we're four episodes into this, and I don't know how long they are at that point in the house, but they've seen some shit go down in there. So, I mean, I can probably get them not really showing terror, being terrified or anything. But anyway, back at the psychiatrist, Nell noticeably is without her medication and looks much worse, but lies to the doctor about still being on it. We go back to Nellie's apartment where Theo scolds her for buying Luke drugs before his rehab stint and finds out the true meaning of her being there was Nell wanting to have her rogue ability the room and see if she could sense anything with Arthur. Theo is mortified upon learning this, and both argue as we see Nell start to spiral. We then see Stephen giving a lecture on his book at a signing, where Nell confronts him in front of the crowd about his true beliefs versus the facade he's put on for his book. We see further spiraling at the psychiatrist's office as Nell tells him the story and once again lies about her being on her meds. Back at her apartment, Nell pulls out her laptop and looks up plane tickets from LAX to Boston, where we are then jumped to her arriving at the Boston Motel. It's here that she relives some more of that night, seeing ghosts of her family as youngsters arrived at the same motel room as well. Young Hugh is noticeably distraught, and we know something has for sure happened to their mother, Olivia, while he leaves to go back to Hill House, and the children swap stories from that same night.
Theo may be my favorite character, but Nell is certainly the most compelling. Pedretti has a way to emote when she acts. It just makes you feel whatever character she does. She does this in You as well. That's why I love the character of Love Quinn so much, and I love her character here too. And here we see another example of, like, yes, Luke is an addict, but we almost see Nell acting like an addict here in this scene with Theo. She's making Theo's gift of touch, you know, how she can sense these things, into a drug for her. and she's kind of abusing it. And I think that that's unfortunate because you're supposed to be siblings. Like even Theo mentions, I thought we were going to hang out for the day. So I think that was an interesting, you know, right now we all really love Nell, but Nell wasn't perfect. And I think we, you know, we learn that more as the show goes on. We just get a little more of Theo's character in this dialogue. We just haven't seen, you know, Theo be very selfish, and yet Nell has called her out for it. And so there is more to Theo. You know, up to this point, we've seen Theo be a good sister. She's helped this kid. But clearly there's something that we don't know yet that Nell is already kind of thumbing around on Jump Street for. And I think that's interesting. And I'm going to say this a ton this whole episode, including the next, you know, episode 6. Just more of not sure if I like Steve or not. Nell dragged his ass, and yet because of some of the context of what happened, I can't fully say Steve was in the wrong here. I just can't. I actually kind of like Nell's doctor as a non-believer myself. Kind of like, are you sure about this? Was that such a good idea? Like, really, you know, throwing in some logic to this, even though we know that Nell was at least telling her truth. I still like, you know, the little bit of groundedness that this adds. I like that each episode we just get a little bit more development of what happened in the final night at Hill House. So that's all I had.
All right, Nellie looks so beat down and exhausted in this session with the therapist. Brian, like you mentioned, you can tell that she's not on her meds and things are going wrong. We get a great scene with Theo and Nellie in her and Arthur's room. You can feel the strain in their relationship. It's a great acting performance by both ladies snapping on each other and letting all the tea out on each other. Boy, to be a fly in that room. All right, this bookstore scene, this is the two-minute scene by Victoria Pedretti that made me truly admire her as an actress. I remember watching the show and liking it, you know, Dustin, like you've mentioned, you know, just kind of watching and enjoying it. But this scene, my jaw dropped just by how good Victoria was. It makes me emotional hearing her voice crack asking her big brother, why wasn't he there for her and not protecting her? Steven does make some good points that this probably wasn't the right place to do that, but, you know, Nellie reached her breaking point, I guess. But Steven, his actor, he deserves his flowers as well for his acting. He's really good. We've kind of shit on him a lot, but he's phenomenal. Russ Tamblyn, he deserves his credit as well as a therapist. I thought he was exceptional consulting Nellie and questioning a lot of her, the things she was saying and the things she's been doing. I liked it. I love that the current cup she's using has stars all over it, like her teacup from her childhood. And this, you know, I know Brian could probably relate to this more since he is a dad, but look at the faces on these kids in this hotel room. Listen to their voices. This is fear and confusion masterfully acted by all of them. I thought it was very powerful.
So this is the least amount that I have on any of these sets of scenes, but we get very intense stuff with Nell and Theo. Like, I understand Theo not wanting to do the thing, but she wasn't exactly being compassionate. Then again, her character hasn't shown compassion this whole show. But all Nell wanted was some help connecting with her dead husband, and Theo yelled at her. Rough. Nell blowing up Steve's spot like that is tough. Felt major secondhand embarrassment for Steve, but she made valid points. I will answer her question of why. It's because Steve is a dickhead. Like, he's been a dickhead this whole show. But moving on. So by my account, Nell has lied to Theo, Steve, and the doctor about taking her meds. We saw her flush them. Like, pretty easy to see she's going down a bad path here. And this is very effective, but didn't really have much to take notes on.
All right, last set of scenes for this episode. We transition back to that same night and see young Hugh enter the hotel room the next morning to find everyone asleep except young Nell. Covered in what appears to be blood, but he says it's paint, he and Nell sit on the front porch on a bench as to not wake everyone else. The police show up and take away Hugh, as we are shown him giving Nell the pocket watch we have seen in the future. Future Nell wakes up, and seeing she has slept through the entire day, calls Steve and Shirley and Theo, as we saw the other side of that same thing in the other scenes that we've seen previously with them sending her to voicemail. She leaves a message and then walks to the Coke machine where she chugs the water and has another face-to-face with the broke neck lady, this time hanging in front of her. She comes back and we see Steve did in fact call her back after all. She decides to head to Hill House despite it being dark outside, and we once again see the call she places to her father. Now at Hill House, we see shots of Nell conversing with all of her siblings and mother again, while also being shown what was truly happening. Nell is convinced by her mother to change clothes and go downstairs for a ghostly reception, where her siblings are now adults, and she dances with Arthur one more time. All the time, making her way up the staircase in real life. Her mother convinces her to put on her necklace that she promised to give her a couple of episodes ago, and we see it as a noose in present-day reality. Nellie jumps off the balcony as we see her lifeless body hang as her neck is broken. She then slips in and out of time as we are shown the broke neck lady we have been seeing throughout the entire series was in fact Nell the whole time.
You can tell here that even as children, they are split on who believes what and what they see. Just really great performances by the child actors in the scene. Another knockout performance from Pedretti here in the hotel. Doesn't speak a word, but with the sleep paralysis, with Luke hovering over it, it just got everything across. It emotes so well without actually using words. I think it's a great scene. This motherfucker had the nerve to say, it's just paint. All right, Dad, what the hell, man? Clearly that's blood, buddy. And even little, you know, how old Nell is, she could tell, man. I do like, as we start right here, we're starting to see Nell unravel in real time. And why, even though sometimes meds make people into these zombies, her taking them is super important because she's clearly off her meds, but also all this other stuff that has to do with Hill House is real. So it's a bad confluence of events, in my opinion, or at least that's the way that I interpreted this. Just the lines really start to blur, and you see everyone ignore her phone call except her dad, who does not ignore her phone call. So I will give Hugh credit there. He's a great dad here, at least here. He also lives in Florida, so shout out to my people back in Florida. This house just looks great as a set, whether it's flashbacks or it's the abandoned version. Just really great. A great place to shoot a horror series or horror movie, in my opinion. The scene with everyone in the wedding attire in the abandoned version of the house is fucking heartbreaking, man. Just seeing Nell go through it all again, including the first dance, it's a tearjerker. It's rough. There's no doubt. And the closing shot of Nell hanging herself and realizing that, oh, she's the bent neck lady, is really mind-blowing the first time I saw it and eye-opening for the rest of the series. I think it's, man, it's wild. And it tugs on your heartstrings for sure.
All right, continuing from my last point, how can you not look at these twins and not feel the pain seeing their mommy suffering? And poor Nell, she can't catch a break. Seeing Luke in the ceiling, presumably dead, I feel so bad for her. Like I mentioned at the beginning, this was Victoria Pedretti's first job. In my opinion, this entire series, full of great acting, camera work, etc., it hinges on her performance, and she crushes it. Hugh looks broken, but manages to be a great father to young Nellie, handing her the pocket watch. Such an intense moment, so well done by Henry Thomas, who I got to meet at Pensacon last year. That was awesome. Great jump scare with Nellie by the vending machine and the bent neck lady falling right in front of her. I really like that. Interesting that Steve said, I hope you're well, Nellie, and not I love you in the voicemail. And then we see Hell House graffiti instead of Hill House. I just wanted to use this moment to shout out Stephen Cognetti. That interview is available at don'tgooutthere.com. Oh, hell, it's time to come home as the front porch flickers. What a great touch, and this outside shot of the house looks great. I love adult Nellie interacting with her siblings as children and seeing her mother again. I'm getting choked up watching Nellie make everything good with her family, Luke thanking her for believing in him and dancing with Arthur again. Fellow co-hosts and listeners, this is some incredible TV we're viewing right now. I love the sweet moment Olivia giving Nellie her locket, but I know this good feeling won't last long. I love this reveal that Nellie has been seeing her future dead self ever since she was a child. What an episode.
So I had very few notes on the last set of scenes, but this is the most I have on any set of scenes in the show so far, so bear with me. It's a good little flashback of the night they got to the motel. Every flashback serves a purpose in this show, but I especially appreciate the ones that are directly tied to the night their life changed. Nell seeing Luke on the ceiling was creepy. Then again, what did she expect when she checked into this motel that had such bad memories tied to it? Another good flashback when we see Hugh return to the motel. Good acting again from young Nell. And great seeing that, you know, when she got the pocket watch. Very well done having present day Nell wake up at 2 o'clock also, since that's what time her dad said her aunt would be there to pick her up. Major jump scare when the lights go out in the hallway and the bent neck woman plops down beside her. Very well done. And she's clearly off her rocker. She went back in that room and sat on the bed in a daze for 11 hours. Holy fuck, bud. I like that this episode explains why she went back to the house. Her doctor said it would be good for her, and she even repeated his words of, it's just a carcass in the woods, before she went up to it. That was well done. Very eerie seeing the house light up like that. At this point, it's hard to determine if it's really happening and the house is haunted or if she's just insane. So I think they do a good job of kind of blurring that line. We see the porch light flash twice outside, and it was previously mentioned in an earlier episode. That's how Olivia signaled for the kids to come home, like come inside. So it shows that Olivia was inside calling for her. I really like that.
Right.
I love how it was shot showing the family talking to and interacting with Nell. And then it cuts to reality and we see that she's alone in this dilapidated house. That was fucking awesome. It's so creepy how quiet it is. Like the absence of a score is just perfect to me. You can hear the faint right. sound of the wind in the background. I mean, it's just perfect. Couldn't make the scene any more uneasy. Then the family apologizing to her, Luke being clean and Arthur being alive again. She went through every emotion imaginable before her death. And then a huge oh shit moment, seeing that Nell herself is the bent neck woman. Finally, something I can love about this show. By far, my favorite episode yet.
I just wanted to shout out that song, Heavenly Day by Patty Griffin. I went and downloaded it. Man, that's a good ass song. And it really complimented like her wedding and the dancing really well. It's a beautiful song if you want to check it out.
For sure. Dustin, do you have any fun facts on this episode?
I do not. I only had the one about the lights flickering that I did read that, added it to my notes. So, yep.
I have a couple here. After Nell's first encounter with the bent net lady, when she's in her parents' room, the tall, skinny specter with the bowler hat can be seen out of focus standing behind Olivia. And when Olivia is scolding Nell for writing on the wall with that chalk, you can see Olivia holding the chalk that was used. I mean, possibly signifying that Olivia is the one who wrote Come Home, Nell, which makes sense. Before we get started on the next set of scenes, which is episode 6, Two Storms, the only thing I wanted to say, since I'm not taking notes on it, I did want to say that, to me, obviously this has a lot of dialogue. So the scene by scene, and probably our notes are going to be a little bit short, but I think Flanagan knew that. And to me, this has the best camera shots of the entire series so far. Like, there is a ton of one shots, or at least fake one shots, where they're cut in there and you can't tell. They look fantastic. Like, until I started writing notes for this, or writing the scene by scene, I did not realize how dialogue heavy this was, because what we were seeing on screen was so visually interesting because of what Flanagan did. Just my two cents.
I wrote about that, the camera work, in my notes as well. But like I mentioned in our group chat last night, this was a hard episode to take notes on, like scene by scene wise, just like analysis, because the camera work is so good and the acting is so good. It's just like it's the family just releasing all of their anger and frustration out on each other they've held in for years. So for me, I don't know about you, Dustin, this was a hard episode to take notes on, but it's incredible. It's a great episode. I mean, it's 9.2 on IMDb, and Bent Neckley has a 9.5. So that tells you how highly rated these two episodes are.
Yeah, I actually liked episode 6 a little bit more than episode 5. You talked about the family just kind of letting out all these emotions and everything that they've been holding in. Well, alcohol tends to do that. So it's just everything about it was strategical, and it made so much sense. And this episode 6 is my favorite episode.
All right, well, let's get into it. For the second straight episode, we don't get any cold open as the credits thrust us back into the funeral parlor as Shirley caresses her hair and Theo says she did a good job, but she doesn't look like she's sleeping. She looks dead while pounding a whiskey. Steve and Luke show up, and Luke can't go to see her body just yet as they all converse in the lobby of the funeral home, quickly getting caught up as Steve pounds a whiskey of his own. Luke and Steve decide to finally see the body, and Steve has a more intense reaction than he initially thought, while also seeing Ghost Nell, and they all reconvene in the lobby, swapping more stories. Hugh shows up, and they swap awkward small talk as he finally takes off to the casket to pay his respects to his daughter. When he gets there, he sees a young Nell in a heartbreaking shot in the casket and tells Shirley she did a great job with her makeup. He asks where the bathroom is and exits down the hallway.
Hey, listen, mortician work creeps me out. Shout out to them, though. I think we may have some that listen, and that's not to impugn y'all's work. I just, it couldn't be me. And so I appreciate that you guys exist, because death and taxes, those are the only two things that are for certain. So that makes sense to me. I'm not sure how bad I would want to look at my sister in this situation. No, thank you. And I just, look, I know this is a random thing and I say this a lot, but I love the lighting in the scene in the funeral. Oh, man. Like, the way it's, all the lights are on, but it's lit very dark and very ominously. I think they do a great job here. And it just gives off that creepy vibe. The rain adds so much, too. Like, I think the rain is a character in this scene. I feel like maybe I've caught flag in the past for saying, oh, this is a character and that's a character. And while it's definitely true in Halloween 1978, I think it's true with the rain here. I think the rain plays so much because it rains on the last night in Hill House, and now it's raining at Nell's funeral, or, you know, pre-funeral, or however you want to word it. Another, yet again, for the billionth time, conflicting scene with Steve. He's being a good brother, then he ends up being just as anxious as Luke. It's a touching moment in a way, because it humanizes Steve just a smidge when before he's kind of seemed like he's above all this. And it turns out he's not. He's got a failing marriage. He's very anxious. He's about to get drunk, etc. So I think it's a really good, it's good writing. Honestly, the whole thing is good sibling writing. Even with all the BS that's happened, they still love each other. And that's very evident, even though it gets flipped upside down. Steve sees a ghost. That was interesting. Just hold on to that thought. I do like adding Dad to the mix here. We haven't seen much of him, and it just adds something else to that family dynamic that I'm interested in going forward. And I hate, by the way, I hate when other people do this too. I hate when Theo calls out Kevin being a good host as a coping mechanism. Man just wants to be a good host. God damn, what more do you want? Offer a plate of food, shelter, drink, anything you want. Just let Kevin be a good host. I don't have to call him out as a coping mechanism. I know you're drunk, Theo, but we don't have to do that. Really interesting shot using Kid Nell for the open casket here. Caught me completely off guard. I'd forgotten. I thought it was very creepy.
All right. In the previous episode, you know, review, I spoke on the scene that caught my eye and dropped my jaw with Victoria Pedretti at the bookstore. This scene blew me away with the incredible camera work just this from the start. Flanagan said on Postmortem with Mick Garris, it's a podcast, you ever want to check that out. He said, it's criminal what I put my camera crew through, but man, it was worth it, brother. This looks great. How incredible is each sibling emotionally acting right now? How do you feel if you're Shirley's husband, Kevin, right now, just trying to process everything that's going on? Shout out to Theo. Getting a drink was exactly what Steven needed. And what a gut-wrenching reaction by Steve seeing Nellie. Great acting, Michael Heisman, I just want to say. Heisman? Wiesman? As great as these interactions are between the siblings, how incredible is this camera work circling through the cast? That's pretty much a lot of my notes throughout this whole episode, but I don't have an issue with Timothy Hutton. I know Brian mentioned in our first couple episodes that you should have just used Henry Thomas throughout, and I get that 100%. But doesn't he look just like Joe Biden? And I can't even see Timothy Hutton anymore. I just see Joe. This is brutal, man, seeing your baby girl in the coffin. And what a great touch to have the bent neck lady in the background as the family looks on. I thought it was a great set of opening scenes, Dustin.
I just didn't think that they looked enough alike. I mean, he's already close enough to that age where you wouldn't even have to put a whole lot of makeup on him to make him look older, but that's just my opinion.
The looks I get for sure.
So Theo bringing the empathy with their opening lines. Shit, that's her sister, and she didn't sugarcoat a damn thing. First talking about how Nell looked, and then talking about Luke. She's on one. Also, pretty odd sense of humor when she said, "I know Nell's been trying to get us all together, but she didn't have to try this hard." Come on, bro. Like, I'm not supposed to laugh at this, but Jesus, that was dark. I like the camera work after Luke and Steven show up. Great transitions between rooms. Also love how the camera held on Luke when he first walked in. It's like we froze just like he did, and we got to fully experience his emotions. I thought that was very well done. Great camera work when Steve sees Olivia at the casket and then turns back. I love how the camera turned with him. Could have easily just filmed it as cuts, but the way that they shot that was just awesome. It was perfect. I love how when Hugh gets there and the camera pans to the kids, we see them as children. And then in one continued shot, we circle back around and they're adults again. To me, that was a great way of showing how parents still see their kids. Like, my mom tells me all the time, no matter how old you get, you're still my baby boy. You know, that's that's to me how that was meant to be perceived, and it was fantastic. When Hugh has his little side conversation to who seemed to be no one, that was an eyebrow raising moment. So we see that literally everyone in the family has their ghosts. So yeah, and I think you touched on it, Nico, but you know, continue on the momentum of last episode there. The first 15 minutes, 38 seconds were all done in one long continuous take. Like, that's so impressive to me. It can't be understated how impressive that was, that nearly 16 minutes, just one take. That's hats off to everyone involved with this set of scenes.
That's why I would love to know if that really truly is one take in there, or if there's some just hidden cuts, you know. But I mean, if it was one take, that's insane. That's so crazy. Like,
what I read about this was that one at least was just one take, and that's
crazy.
Impressive.
All right, we're about to get into some more awesome camera work here. As Hugh walks down the hallway looking for the bathroom, the funeral parlor turns into the hallways of Hill House, and just some amazing effects, in my opinion. We see the night of the big storm in more detail, with young Nell seeing the bent neck lady and the power going out. In some incredible cinematography with one shots galore, the crew notice young Nell missing. Olivia and Steve split up to go look for her, while young Steve is put in charge of the kids downstairs. Young Steve comforts young Luke as we transition into older Steve sitting in front of older Luke at the funeral home talking. The older siblings exchange a story of Nellie using a made-up word, puffalope. Hugh returns and tells a story of his own about Nellie's unusual letters to Santa as she was growing up. Shirley interrupts the story time with a rant on suicide of her own before Luke tells a story about them at their aunt's house and pretending to be a bear. This noticeably angers Steve, and he stands up and walks to the casket.
Love the transition shot again as the dad opens the door, looks for the bathroom. Bathroom turns into Hill House. Thought it was great. Another good parenting moment here from Olivia. Even though we've not, you know, now seen that on that night she wasn't in her right mental state, she still has taken the time to be a good parent to her kids and trying to make sure that they're safe. Again, just so much humanness to these characters, for lack of a better term. They're very, very human, very flawed. But also, no one, I don't think anyone is a bad person, just have some bad traits. Not a whole lot is happening in this set of scenes, so I don't have much to say, but for whatever reason, it's just very effective. So I just recommend going to watch it. This, them walking around the house during the storm, I think is really good and compelling stuff. But back at the funeral home here, I think puffalope is a great made-up word. I'm gonna fucking steal that for my job when I pack stuff to send out to people, and puffalopes. I'm stealing that. I love that. I know I stuttered, so you have to forgive me there. I love this section of them just going over Nell's childhood. The Mr. Claus story is very cute. It's such a kid thing to do. I love it. I wasn't aware of how absent Hugh really had been. And I think this is the first time they're kind of sharing that. I will say, and I'll end this here, Shirley is a little delusional here. She tried to call you and you fucking ignored Nell's call. When she's basically saying, I don't know why she didn't talk to me, why she felt like she couldn't talk to me. She didn't. She tried, and you didn't answer her. And I'm sure that was multiple times that happened. I think that we were just seeing the one time. I'm almost certain there were multiple times that Nell tried to call, and you didn't get back to her. So I think that was what that was supposed to emote, and they did a good job.
Dialogue-heavy scenes right here. I got it.
Yeah, for sure. And like Brian started off his scene by scene, I started mine off with this next set of scenes starts off with more incredible camera work. I agree, brother. And in my opinion, this is the best we've seen on the show that since we've been doing it. And I'm not even talking about just this show. I'm talking about the movie reviews as well. Yeah. We get a great jump scare with the extremely dangerous, humongous chandelier-like thing crashing to the floor. I got a chuckle out of Nellie and Theo saying, Jesus Christ, and what the hell, as the parents try and scold them. Nice bit of humor in this confusing situation. There's so much going on, it's hard to even take notes. More great camera work. Mother-daughter moment, both seeing people in the house. Little Nellie seeing the bent neck lady in the lightning flash. Incredible. And I just like, damn, Steve, what happened, brother? Your big brother school taught you not to abandon your little siblings, and you left them all as you grew up. Subtle but effective, showing dad sitting away from all the kids, showing their disconnect. I really enjoy the puffalope story from Hugh. And you can just tell how much Nellie really loved her siblings. And gee, Shirley, way to make Nellie suicide about you. She did try and call you, and you denied her call, remember? And I'm ending my thoughts on this set of scenes, noticing the smile on Luke's face and frustration on Steven's. There's a lot to process with this troubled family, and it's about to come out.
Yeah, Hugh's journey to the bathroom is a wild one. Place turns into Hill House, and then we get a jump scare from that chandelier falling. The storm setting adds to it. It's just great. Also, I'm 35 years old, and this episode is how I learned how hell forms in 2024. Crazy. I'm thankful for this podcast with you guys. It gives me the chance to learn things that I'd never cared about enough to research on my own. So shout out to Mike Flanagan for teaching me something. When young Nell goes off on her own, we see the power is off and she sees the bent neck lady. I appreciate it so much more knowing that, you know, who the lady ends up being. And so it's, I'm not going to say that I'm glad or that I wish we would have, found out earlier, because that was kind of one of my criticisms, like, who the hell are all these ghosts? There's a lot going on, but it's just perfectly that we found out in episode 5, and here we are, like, now everything, every time we see the bent neck lady, it's like, oh shit, that's her. I laughed when Hugh said she got that from your mother, and Cheryl said alcoholism, and then Theo flipped the bird as she walked off. That was good stuff. Like, the comedy in this series isn't overdone, isn't beat to death. Like, it's very subtle and it's very good. This is another good set of scenes. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the camera work, which is evident in this set of scenes as well. You know, it blew my mind because a lot of shows will have a different director for one episode, a different cinematographer for one episode. But I was genuinely curious because these two episodes, they feel so much different than the previous four as far as how they're shot. But Mike Flanagan directed every episode. And they had one cinematographer, Michael Fimignari. I'm not sure how to say his last name, but one cinematographer, one director. Yet this feels so much different. So hats off to them for stepping it up for these two episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I kind of felt like, and I may be giving him too much credit, but I felt like that's this being such a dialogue heavy episode, that's maybe one of the reasons why the shots are so much different and better. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of dialogue heavy, I don't have much on this scene by scene, so it'll go quick. Steve redirects his anger towards Hugh and his ability to hold back information. Hugh agrees to stand up and answer their questions. He tells them about the call he received from Mrs. Dudley, and they exchange their personal calls with Nellie. Hugh finally tells him that she had told him that the bent neck lady was back. The conversations turn into a fight about Hill House, and Shirley once again targets Steve about his book before Theo and Shelley's husband, Kevin, admit to taking the payout from Steve's residuals. Shirley angrily stumbles out of the room and notices someone or something has put buttons on Nellie's eyes in the casket. The lights immediately go out as they accuse each other, and Shirley says, "God damn tonight."
Again, I'm so damn torn on Steve. He's being a bit of a dick blaming his dad here. You know, his dad has probably done the best he can. I mean, it's not perfect, obviously, but, like, clearly he's drunk, and now the words are flying. I just think he's being a little bit of a dick, and he is being a little bit entitled, like his dad says. I would break out his book, too, call him a hypocrite. He is being hypocritical here, trying to call people out for not telling the truth. Buddy, your whole book's full of shit. You didn't live any of that, and you took liberties with the material, which, by the way, that's totally fine, but don't you know, stick your nose up at other people. That's, again, being a hypocrite. The powwow that I loved so much in the beginning has turned 180 really quick, or 360, I guess, or no, it'd be 180 really, really quick. All right. This scene with the dialogue is great. Just go watch it. It's an intense family fight. You have to see it for yourself. They let the silence of the funeral home really linger there in the background. At least I think they do a great job with that. And I would have been pissed if I was Shirley too. She's... You know, Theo's been mooching off of Shirley this whole time, and now you tell her you had all this money or this extra money and the good money off of royalties? That's okay. I don't blame Shirley for being pissed. Then you find out you took the money and didn't even realize it. Your husband did. That is probably not the time to reveal this right here at your sister's wake, funeral, or whatever you want to call it. Probably would have waited on that one. That's just me too. I'd be pissed. And you got to be honest about that if you're him. So I understand where Shirley's coming from here, and that ain't the last time they're going to upset Shirley this evening. But we know she's not perfect either. So anyway, it's a great scene. I'm glad you kind of cut the scene by scene off here. because this 9-minute chunk is really, really intense and deserved to be watched on its own. I don't think I could do it justice. Just go watch it.
Yep. Brian, just like you, not having a lot. I don't have a lot either, just because we've said it several times. This is a very dialogue, camera work heavy episode. That doesn't mean it's bad. It's actually incredible to watch, but it's just hard to take notes on. But Steve is unloading the chopper on his dad. You can tell this man has a lot of pent up frustration, anger, and hurt with him. And I got to ask again, how awkward does Kevin feel sitting down listening to all this unfold? Incredible acting job by Michael, I'm going to butcher his name again, Heisman, unleashing his frustration on dad. Well, now the dam is broken as Shirley calls out Steve as well on the book. Poor Nell is dead in her coffin as all this shit unfolds. And now Theo tells Shirley she's been taking tons of royalty money while freeloading in her guest house. Elizabeth Reese with some incredible acting, finding out Kevin's been taking the blood money, as she called it, as well. And I got a big laugh out of Theo asking him, do I really have to move out? You're a doctor. You can't afford to live somewhere. And I thought the buttons on Nellie's eyes and the lights going out, I thought that was a nice touch. And I ended my notes on saying all hell is breaking loose with this family tonight.
Yeah, this is the least amount of notes that I have, but very intense when Steve is talking to Hugh and then has the blow up. Love how the camera circles the room and shows the complete setting, and we get to see how everyone is reacting. I thought that was fantastic. I laughed at, you're drunk. Nope. Yep, but I'm right. Like, that was funny as hell. Not nearly as much as I laughed at Kevin admitting to taking Steve's money when he did, though. Like, the timing and delivering was hilarious to me. You got to read the room, brother. Cheryl's going off on everyone, and Kevin hit her with a, we took it too. My guy, you might not get to sleep on the couch. You might have just fucked up so bad. You might be in the garage, brother. The buttons on the eyes, to me, was weird. Like, it feels like with all the supernatural things that has happened on this show, they could have gone with something more substantial there. I don't know. Like, was there a significance to the buttons? I don't think so, but I just...
Nelly collected buttons as a kid, and those were the things that
that's right.
Luke would count them to protect her and all that, the 7 buttons.
Okay, that's right. Okay, but still, we only got, well, I guess 2 buttons kind of makes sense. There's 2 of them dead now. I don't know. Maybe I'm nitpicking that then, so maybe it wasn't as bad as what I thought, but regardless, it's still a good set of scenes.
All right, this is the ending. In some more amazing one-shot photography, we see Hugh as he sees bent-necked Nell in the hallway and goes looking for her as we are transitioned into the past where they are looking for Nell as well. Olivia and young Hugh split up, and we follow Olivia until she opens the door and sees the ghost of a crippled boy. We start following young Nell and realize that Liv is possessed. He chases her around the house. He sees her in front of a window and then sees it explode onto her and suddenly realizes it's an hallucination and finds Olivia disoriented on the hallway floor. The two hear the kids screaming and rush downstairs, who claim to have seen a gigantic wolf with glowing eyes that ran down the hallway. Young Hugh finds young Nell, and we transition back to the present with Luke lighting candles. The two go to Nell's body, and Hugh and Luke share a moment where Hugh acknowledges the ghosts Luke has seen and their shared belief in the bent neck lady. But the conversation stalls when Luke asks about their mother, a conversation that Luke doesn't let go, and it turns into another argument between Steve and Hugh that concludes with Nell's coffin falling over. The two stop bickering to tend to Nell, and when Shirley leaves to go get the makeup, Hugh kisses Nell on her forehead. We follow Shirley to the basement where Theo is found in a closet with Kevin, where Kevin tells her it's not what it looks like. Luke remembers a touching conversation between he and Nell where young Nell tells them she was there the whole time, while the camera pans to bent neck Nell standing by her body as a voiceover says, nobody could see me. I was there the whole time.
The bent neck lady is really one of the best ghosts I can think of because it has deeper meaning. Nell always saw it. Now Hugh has seen it in the form of Nell. To me, it's a stand-in for grief, sadness, fear, everything. It's a stand-in for your own personal ghosts that haunt you. And I think that's the amalgamation of that here with Nell as the bent neck lady. So I think it's probably one of the better ghosts I can remember. And you know, this stuff really isn't normally my sort of thing, but this show just has me hooked and has me believing because there's human elements to the whole thing, not just some ghost jump scare movie. Another seamless transition shot into the past here, man. It's awesome. It's really just, man, they do a great job. I wish we could attach videos to this because you got to see them. Hopefully you're watching the show along with us. That little kid was riding the fuck out of that wheelchair. I don't know what happened to him in the past, but shout out to him on the ghost kid in the wheelchair. I love as the storm intensifies, the house becomes more of that character that we talked about a couple episodes ago. You know, it starts to intensify. The house, the windows break. Other things are happening, you know, random noises in random places. I think it does a great job. Some of the shots with the lighter flickering are fucking great, man. They sound like the beginning of a Lil Wayne song. Love that. Both of these men, Steve and Hugh, as they get into this argument, have valid points. You know, I can't blame Steve for thinking that all of this is mental illness, but I get why the dad believes his wife, his daughter, and his other son. I think both people are coming from valid places. Maybe just they won't listen to each other. No one's listening. Or Steve definitely won't listen. That's for sure. I do think that was a really low blow by Steve to say the wrong parent died. That's not cool, man. Even if he fell that way, that's not what you do. That man, that one made me mad at Steve, not going to lie. Young Nell's words here as the closing happens are haunting as shit, man. About her being right there screaming and no one could hear her. Fuck, man, that got me. Because it's a play on what ends up happening to her in her death. You know, man, it was really, really moving scene. Also, last thing, you guys couldn't wait till Shirley to leave to do whatever you were doing in that closet? Okay, man. Anyway.
All right, more of the same with this set of scenes, and I hope that doesn't come across wrong, but it's great camera work, acting. And I feel smart that I'm actually seeing the ghost this time. If you read through the IMDb trivia, there are ghosts all over, but I miss them every time I watch it. Poor Hugh, he has so much to process and deal with as the man of the house when we see these flashback scenes. I don't know how this man doesn't get overwhelmed a lot quicker, honestly. And damn, what an intense interaction between Steve and Hugh. When he says the wrong parent died, sheesh, man. There's a lot of anger coming out of him tonight. And all hell, Charlotte thinks she catches Steven and Theo kissing and then sees this mystery man again. That's interesting. Can't wait to see how that plays out. And I love how this episode ends, Brian, like you mentioned, touching scene. I love Luke seeing his younger self telling Nell he thought the house got her. Don't leave again. What an ending to the episode as the bent neck lady stands by Nellie's casket. I thought it was fantastic.
Hey, were they kissing in there? Because I don't remember actually seeing them do anything, but I wasn't sure. And I don't remember how the rest of the episodes play out. So were they kissing in there?
No. Kevin and Theo don't do anything.
Yeah, that's what I'd say too. Hugh seeing bent neck Nell is crazy. I mean, he'd been talking to someone since he got there and we couldn't see who, but him seeing her there is an added layer. Like, it makes you wonder what all he can and can't see and experience. The old lady sitting on the bed behind Olivia when she's walking out of their bedroom is crazy, as creepy as hell. And then she opens the other room's door and Hot Wheels rolls out. And then Hugh has to chase Olivia all over. A lot is happening here. The pace is picking up greatly, and this is very well made. It gets, quote unquote, scary. Then I love how we flash back to the present when we do. Great time to slow us back down a bit. Big oh shit moment when Steve and Hugh are yelling at each other. And then Nellie's casket falls over. That would be absolutely gut-wrenching and heartbreaking as a parent or a sibling to see. But not nearly as gut-wrenching as seeing your husband and sister in a closet together like that. Whew, my man. My man. As if you didn't fuck up enough, I'd be like, hey, we took the money too. Now you're in the closet with her sister? Get it how you live, boy. But who the fuck was that sitting in the dark drinking alone? Like, did you say who that was? The guy, the younger guy with the beard? Like, who the fuck was that? Maybe I missed it?
I don't know. You'll find out later.
Okay, see, I'm with that. To me, watching it, this is my first time watching. I stopped after this episode. I was like, who the fuck? That was random. Okay, but I wasn't mad at it because I had a feeling we'd figure it out. I just thought maybe I missed it. Great usage of the kids' dialogue as Luke leaves, and we see that bent neck Nell is there. This is a solid episode, a solid ending. The best two episode stretch of the show by so far. And like I said, this was my favorite episode.
My guy said Hot Wheels.
Who said that?
I don't know.
I was just reading the teleprompter, man. I don't know who writes this stuff. I was just reading.
All right, Ron Burgundy. All right. You guys have any fun facts? I've got three if you guys don't have any.
I have one. I don't want to be off-putting because that's not like me, but
no.
Kate Siegel, Theo, found out that she was pregnant during the filming of this episode. So in my mind, I immediately went to, okay, so she found out here she could have been pregnant in earlier episodes. So does that mean when she was hooking up with the one-night stand, was that technically a threesome? I'll hang up and listen.
Wow. And to add on to that fun fact, this was her second child, and they named her Theodora for this character. Just throw that out there, too.
Nice.
But, all right, so Luke takes a lingering look back at Nell's open casket, but as the camera pans, it's heavily implied that he can see her in ghostly form due to their unique twin connection. I read that fun fact, and I almost didn't read it because I thought, well, that's kind of dumb because Hugh can see Nell in ghostly form as well, and so is Steve. Steve's seeing, like, Nell throughout. They just haven't shared that. And so I'm kind of like, meh. Is that a fun fact? I don't know. But the last one, the rain seen throughout the episode was not CGI, but in fact real water produced by machines. The only exceptions are the moments in which the windows are blown out at the Hill House. The set was flooded several times throughout the episode's one-month rehearsal. Holy shit.
You know, I don't know why they said, quote, real water produced by machines. Like, just call it what that is. That's rain. Dude, the weather machine. Come on.
Oh, Dustin, like you were mentioning about the bearded guy that Shirley keeps seeing, the only bad part about that is you're not going to get the full revelation until the very last episode. So you got a few more episodes to wonder who that is.
Hmm.
Let's just shout out our blood donors. We really appreciate y'all. We hope y'all have been enjoying DGOT, the series. Blood donors, Anita Russell, final girl donor. We'll be reviewing her pick next week, Pitch Black. Looking forward to that. I actually watched that for the first time this past week, and I enjoyed it. Camper Level Reoccurring, Clayton J., Nina, Michelle Mirza, the Horror Movie Crew Podcast, Alex Seligson, Michael Evans, Camp Counselor Reoccurring, Edwin Hernandez Gunn, Joe Swinford, Shan, Adrian Aiello, Karen, Brian Samick, Andrew Ferguson, Matt Strickland, Brooke Maley, Thorne David Phillips, Heather Superduck, and Jennifer Davis from the Too Close to Home Podcast. Really appreciate y'all. It means a lot to us. Hey, and if you want ad-free content, join us on Blood Donors. Really appreciate everyone who donates. It does take a big burden off of us. It's not free to make this show. Guys, any final thoughts on these two episodes before we get out of here?
Again, two great episodes. Really, really liked both. I think we're really starting to pick up business here. Two of the stronger episodes. I think episode six, even though not a whole lot, quote-unquote, happens, probably my favorite episode of the series, just because it is the strongest from a character development standpoint. And it's just a lot of dialogue, but I think it's very captivating dialogue at that. So yeah, all in all, I think they're both really, really well done.
I thought they were incredible. Incredible TV.
I'm glad that we're doing this show. I want to say that yet again, because you speak so highly of this show that I probably would have gotten around to watching it anyway, but I'll be honest with you. After watching the first four episodes, I may have dropped it for a while before I finished it. But now, through six episodes, I'm genuinely excited to watch episodes 7 through 10. So, yeah, shout out to DGOT, the series.
And I've recently rewatched, you know, the entire series just because once I started watching, I didn't want to stop. Man, them last few episodes, man, they're emotional, man. And it's just, that's good writing and good storytelling when you care about characters and it gets a reaction out of you. So I'm looking kind of like, you know, fucking Iron Claw, man. That ending, brother. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that right now. I'm really excited for the next episode. Y'all have a good one. Thank y'all for listening. Just want to remind everybody.